Duke Ellington said of Mary Lou Williams that she was, quote, perpetually contemporary. This is high praise coming from the master, perpetually contemporary. This is someone who truly embodied the spirit of jazz. Welcome to Jazz Therapy, where we explore the intersectionality of jazz, the psyche and psychoanalytic thought, spirituality, and consciousness. We have in-depth conversations with people from various walks of life, all of whom view their work as a service to humanity. Then we listen to jazz and discuss our thoughts, feelings, and reflections, which arise from hearing this incredible art form. I'm your host, Jesse Shapiro. This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you or someone you know is feeling suicidal or in an emotional crisis, you can call or text the SAMHSA Crisis Line, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Association, through the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Simply call or dial 988 24/7, 365 days a year. You can find his podcast on Apple Podcasts. Jazz is Black heritage and a true American art form, which is spiritual and healing to the soul. Mary Lou Williams. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jazz Therapy. I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad you're here with me. Today, I'm going to do a little innovative, I hope, different type of episode. I'm going to call this a short. I'm aiming for it to be around 15 to 20 minutes. And I want to cover a couple things today. I want to talk a little bit about the life of the incredible American pianist Mary Lou Williams. She was also a composer and arranger and mentor to the likes of Thelonious Monk, Charlie Parker, and Dizzy Gillespie. And she was also an advocate for jazz history and really promoting jazz history as an art form created by Black Americans. And she did an incredible amount to advance Americans' understanding and appreciation of jazz as an art form. And then I'm going to choose two songs for us to listen to, and I'll encourage you to go and listen along with me, since I can't play the music on the podcast. And then finally, because part of Mary Lou Williams' story, which is so fascinating, is that she stepped away from performing. You'll hear more about this in the 50s. And she had a spiritual awakening and she converted to Catholicism. And part of, I feel, and I sense Mary Lou Williams has the same spirit, is that our spiritual life or any spiritual awakening we have is really meaningless if we don't work with it, not only deep within our own selves to transform, but that has to radiate in terms of how we interact with others and how we basically use ourselves as an instrument of change to make the world better. And Mary Lou Williams did so much, and I'll talk about that. And I want to end today with a meditation for sending healing energy that the conflict in Palestine ends, that the war between Hamas and Israel ends, that the genocide of the Palestinian people stop. Because to me, this is a way that we can use our faith and our energy to do good in the world. And the jazz is going to be the soothing and healing part for all of this. So this is probably not going to be everyone's cup of tea. However, as we go into the second half of the season of Jazz Therapy, this is kind of where I just feel called to go right now. And so that's what we're going to do. All right. So I'm just going to talk briefly about Mary Lou Williams. I encourage you to read more about her as well. There's also a Mary Lou Williams Foundation whose mission is really to spread the word about this incredible artist who I won't say she's a hidden figure in the history of jazz. She's very well known among the jazz world. However, I think in contemporary culture, wider audiences might not know her name. However, they might know the name of Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, or Thelonious Monk. And this is probably partly due to sexism and just in the times. However, now you know her name, and I know that you will appreciate her artistry. If you'd like to know more, you can visit my website at www.jazztherapy.com. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in the states of California and New York. You can also check out my profile page on Psychology Today, which I'll leave linked below. So, Mary Lou Williams was born in Atlanta, Georgia on May 8th, 1910. And most of this, you guys, I got from Wikipedia and just general stuff on the internet doing my research. And so she was a musical prodigy. She would sit on her mother's lap and just play simple tunes. And her mother taught her the piano. Her family moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania when she was young. And her family, she's Black, her family was Black. Victims of racial violence, evidently white neighbors would throw bricks into her house. So she experienced this at a very young age, this terrorism. However, she began to play piano in the homes of these neighbors and would give concerts to them. And her family, I guess, didn't know about these concerts until I think I read that she broke her arm, and then the neighbors came asking, why did the concert stop? So already she was kind of in a position of being a leader. She was one of 11. She had 10 half-brothers and sisters, and she also was financially supporting her family by the age of 6. And she was playing publicly at 7, and she became known in Pittsburgh as the Little Piano Girl. She was already a professional musician by the age of 15, and she had already played with Duke Ellington by the time she was 13. So she, in the 20s and 30s, she became the principal composer and arranger and pianist for Andy Kirk and his band, the 12 Clouds of Joy. And she also did write for the likes of Benny Goodman, Earl Hines, Tommy Dorsey, Duke Ellington, and Dizzy Gillespie. And so she could play classical. However, she really also absorbed the early bebop sound, which was categorized by really virtuoso solos, fast chord progressions and changes, and just really daring, innovative music. I don't have the technical terms to describe exactly this. However, this was really what bebop modernized and advanced jazz from the swing era and really brought it to the forefront. And this is really important because she was a big influence on Dizzy Gillespie, one of the founding fathers of bebop, along with Charlie Parker and Thelonious Monk. So evidently also in the late 20s, she was working in Oklahoma City with Andy Kirk's 12 Clouds of Joy. And she moved to Tulsa. And when she was not working as a musician, she also had a side job evidently transporting bodies as an undertaker. So she had to find a way to pay the bills at that point. In 1930, she filled in for a pianist in her husband's band, and she was able to play boogie woogie, ragtime bass, and swing with one hand while also doing melodies and counter rhythms on the other hand. And she became really a star, and she was known as the lady who swings the band. So let's just hold that for a minute. How incredible her mind was to be able to hold basically like two completely different things that were happening musically at once and just let her virtuosity go. In 1945, the New York Philharmonic Orchestra performed her composition of Zodiac Suite, which featured four sections, each in the style of a different musician and blended jazz and classical styles. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this because we're going to listen to a piece from the Zodiac Suite. So she was really influenced by modernism when writing and composing. And each song in the suite is inspired by, this is from Wikipedia, an astrological sign and musicians or performers who were born under it. So for each astrological sign, Aries, Pisces, Sagittarius, Leo, Cancer, I know I'm saying them out of order, she composed an original tune and the musicians who were playing them were born in that sign as well. And so the first performance ever was at a chamber jazz group, and the second was with the symphony orchestra at Carnegie Hall. And I really wanted to highlight just the originality and creativity that she had to come up with this. So we're going to take a little pause right now, and we're going to go and listen to a song from the Zodiac Suite. So I'm an Aries. I'm a fire sign. So I'm going to listen to the Aries. And I'm going to encourage you to just pause and go to whatever streaming platform you have. I'll put a link for this on Spotify. You can also find a link on YouTube as well. And listen to whatever astrological sign you are. And then we'll come back and we'll just reflect on it together. All right. Well, I just listened to Aries, and I imagine you just listened to your respective astrological sign. And I feel, I guess the best way to put words to what I just heard was like a deep dive into kind of what my internal experience as a person might be like sometimes, which is intense, fiery, expressive, creative, lyrical, beautiful, sometimes awash in uncertainty, and yet continuously flowing. And it was piano and bass. I would put this song in the category of emotional innovation and emotional reverie. And also as I'm listening to this song, I just kind of feel like it's giving me permission just to kind of be my weird, quirky self. Because Mary Lou Williams is so original herself, there's almost a transmission in her music that she's just inviting us to be completely who we are. So just pause a minute and ask yourself, what feelings, what thoughts, what emotions did that bring up for you? What category of emotional listening would you put it into? This music is so evocative for us. Can just take us to so many different states. And we all have a different reaction to everything that we hear too, which is the wonderful thing about it. There's no wrong or right interpretation. It's really just what we're moved by and what is evoked in us. Well, moving back to Mary Lou and a little bit of her life trajectory, after this in 1945, continued to mentor and collaborate with Dizzy Gillespie, Charlie Parker, and Thelonious Monk. And they also said that she really was a big influence on them in terms of arranging and composing. She taught them so much. She also toured in Europe, and she has a wonderful album out called Mary Lou Williams Plays in London. And she was at a concert playing in Paris in 1954 when she stopped playing the piano and got up and walked out of the concert. She was incredibly burned out. She had had to just play since she was a child and performed and was working and working. And I sense her soul just needed a complete break to really rejuvenate and rest. And so she took a break from performing for a couple years. And during this time, she had a conversion to Catholicism. And it was actually a priest that she knew who convinced her to go back to playing the piano. And she sort of had a newfound mission of playing the piano. And she said that she wanted to, or she was praying through her fingers. And she also began to sometimes house musicians who were having a hard time, kind of down on their luck. And one thing that is interesting in her story is that she also never really was fairly compensated for a lot of the work she did. She was taken advantage of by some of her European band leader, and she never really got the proper financial compensation for someone, a genius like her. And this was just, you know, probably a product of the times of sexism. And, you know, we continue to see pay disparities between men and women to this day. However, that did not stop her in her artistry. She continued to evolve as an artist. She wrote and performed a mass called Black Christ of the Andes. This was in honor of the Peruvian saint Martin de Porres. And this is an absolutely incredible piece. I really encourage you to listen to this. And this was first performed in November 1962 in Manhattan. And she also founded her own record label to produce this, because I'm sensing it probably was not something that mainstream record labels would produce. So again, we just see this incredible drive and determination that she just was not going to let anything get in her way to stop her. She also became a real leading advocate for jazz, dedicated to educating young people, especially young African Americans, about their musical heritage. And she was on the Today Show, and she was also featured on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And you guys, Mr. Rogers, I just have such a deep love and respect for him. I'll talk about this maybe on another show, but he was incredibly progressive and ahead of his times. So just a huge shout out to Mr. Rogers and his musical taste. She also really distributed the Tree of Jazz, which was an illustration that visually depicted the history of African-American music. I'm reading a quote here, from contemporary swing and bebop back to antebellum spirituals. It was really important to her that jazz be recognized as an art form created by Black Americans, and that it was not sort of whitewashed as more white musicians began to play the music. And I really could not agree more. And it's really important that we honor and recognize this. She continued to evolve in the 70s and come up with really creative music. She was also a Guggenheim Fellow and taught at Duke University. And she wrote music to another mass, again, this one called Mary Lou's Mass. And I want to play a track from this song, or from this album, for us. It is called Credo, and it is the instrumental version. And Credo refers to a statement of faith about how one believes in God. Catholics say the Nicene Creed. And in listening to this piece of music, it's my intention for you just to reflect on, how would you express your spirituality? How would you express how you believe in the divine or the creator? And if you can't relate to sort of a higher power, then how would you maybe express, because that's okay, how would you express the deep abiding joy at being alive, gratitude for just being alive? How would you communicate that? We're going to hear Mary Lou in her version of expressing this musically. And I invite you to now pause and just go and listen along with me. I will put this on the link list on Spotify, and Credo Instrumental is also available on YouTube. Wow, wow, wow. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. What an incredibly exquisite way to worship God. So moving, you guys. That was so cool and innovative and beautiful. I guarantee you probably more people would go to Mass if they played music like this. We have historically heard Gregorian chant and all kinds of beautiful choral music. However, this is a completely different way of expressing faith, of worshiping God. Now, you guys, I'm not Catholic. I'm a mystic. I'm a lover of God. I really see God's light is one light that shines through many different colors of glass, like a stained glass window, yet it's all the same light. And this is just absolutely incredible. I would put this in emotional transcendence, in emotional innovation, in emotional reverie. And I just got goosebumps, just felt filled with such deep joy, like my heart was bursting. Just, I felt gratitude to God, like just glory to God, and just grateful for this music and grateful to be here with you. So thank you from Mary Lou Williams. She was really a musical prophet as well as a musical genius, you guys. She was. So we've just been listening to Credo, the instrumental version by Mary Lou Williams from Mary Lou's Mass. And what an incredible piece of music this is. Mary Lou Williams said, "Music is a spiritual thing. You don't play with your fingers, you play with your heart." And she said, "Music is the key that opens the door to your soul." And I really think she did this as an artist. And she also was someone who lived her faith by continuing to be of service to humanity in her teaching to students at Duke, in her continuing to educate another young generation about the true history of jazz, that it is an American art form, specifically a Black American art form created by Black Americans. That's very important. That she continued to just radiate her light and her individuality. So now we are going to turn to the part of this podcast that is tying spirituality into putting our faith or desire to serve humanity or make the world a better place into action. And I would like to do a guided metta meditation. It's a Buddhist style of meditation where we send positive and healing energy to the conflict that is happening in Gaza. And I just wanted to say a little bit about this before we do this. I have a Jewish last name. Part of my family is Jewish. I love Jewish people. And Jews were persecuted, have been persecuted historically for thousands of years. And the Holocaust came, which was another huge, incredible trauma. And now Israel, at all costs, feels a need to protect itself. And in that act of protecting itself is perpetuating horrific violence that was experienced by Jews in the Holocaust, in the history of the world. And I understand that. And it's also destructive and it needs to stop. And I also love and respect Muslims, and they deserve to be able to be free and have their own state as well. We need to find a way for everyone to coexist in harmony. And I feel like if you're listening to this, I'm definitely preaching to the choir. This is not a political podcast. However, I think anybody at this point with a beating heart sees that this violence needs to stop, that the conflict needs to stop. It was started by Hamas and it is continuing, and we really need peace. So please just do this short metta meditation with me, where we're going to send energy, positive, loving energy, that this conflict is over. So this is kind of like a meditation and a prayer. So if you're walking or driving, please stop and make sure you're in a place where you can just be seated and close your eyes. I'm going to hopefully have this not take more than a few minutes, but it's just something we can do together. And you guys, I read this once somewhere that if enough people prayed or meditated to send healing energy to a cause in the world. And there are so many painful and horrific things that are happening in the world. If as many people did that, as many people watched the Super Bowl or paid attention to professional sports, that there's a big likelihood that we could resolve and make changes. So that's kind of my intention with this. And also in the spirit of Mary Lou Williams being very original. And here's another quote by her: "Jazz is an art form that celebrates individuality. Don't be afraid to express your unique voice." That is sort of what I'm doing with this podcast. I want to make the point that spirituality can be in any job, in whatever we do. It's really what we radiate from our hearts. And I'm tying my unique love of jazz in with spirituality and desire to want to make the world a better place. So this is me expressing my own sort of unique quirkiness here. So let's just do this short meditation. I want you to just close your eyes. I'm going to do it along with you as I'm leading this. And first, I just want you to imagine that from your heart center, there is golden light that is radiating out from your heart, filling your entire body. Just imagine it going up through your shoulders, your head, down through your body, your legs, all the way down to your toes. Just that your whole body is radiating this golden light. And just take a couple of gentle breaths. And now I want you to imagine that you're sending from your heart a golden beam of light over to Gaza and Palestine, especially Rafah, where I know Israel is launching a ground invasion, covering this whole region, to all the refugee camps around of all of the displaced Palestinian people, women, children, men, many of whom are sick or injured or grieving the loss of their loved ones. Just send a golden laser beam of light out to all Palestinian people that have been affected by this war, this conflict in the region. May they be peaceful, content, and liberated. May they have a permanent Palestinian state to call home that is safe and protected and recognized by the United Nations. And now we're going to just imagine another laser beam of light coming from our heart that is going to Israel. It is covering all of the Israeli people, including some of the hostages that are still with Hamas, hostages that have been released. Everybody, every Israeli who is mourning or has lost somebody, or just in anguish over this conflict, even the soldiers who are doing the killing, they still need our love and light as well. May this golden laser beam of light cover all Israelis. May they be peaceful, content, and liberated. And especially may this light cover Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. May he make wise, empowered decisions to lead his people and end this conflict. And also the leader of the Palestinian people. May this leader also, or leaders, make wise, informed decisions to lead the Palestinian people. And may their hearts be full of peace, Prime Minister Netanyahu, and also the leaders of the Palestinian people. And I pray that the bloodshed ends, that there can be peace, that all the hostages can be released, and that slowly peace and healing can come. May this war be over. I pray here to the Jewish Lord, El Shaddai, El Elohim, and also to Allah, because we're really everybody all one under the same God. Lord, please bring peace between Gaza and Israel. It's okay if you have feelings come up like me. It's hard to take in the images of bloodshed that we see from the news, and yet it's also important so that we know those are real human beings. These are real humans that are suffering. And there's many ways we can help. We can donate aid, and we can also send our love, and we can pray. Now I'm just going to invite you to come back to your own heart center, seeing your body filled with this golden light. And just take one long deep breath with me here. And just thank yourself for doing this. And I thank you for doing it with me. And just gently open your eyes. I just thank you guys for being with me for this unique second half of the season Jazz Therapy podcast that we'll call a short. It was really great to be here today. And I hope that you guys enjoyed the jazz. I'm just going to leave us with one final quote from Mary Lou Williams, who was a pianist, composer, arranger, scholar, leader, visionary, prophet, an all-around embodiment of the divine feminine. She said, "Americans don't realize how important jazz is. It's healing for the soul. It should be played everywhere, in churches, nightclubs, everywhere. We have to use it every place we can." Absolutely beautiful, and I could not agree more. You guys can also check out the Mary Lou Williams Foundation online and do some more reading about her. She is just an amazing, amazing figure. Duke Ellington said of Mary Lou Williams that she was, quote, perpetually contemporary. This is high praise coming from the master, perpetually contemporary. This is someone who truly embodied the spirit of jazz. Thank you so much for being with me here today. Check back next week for another episode of Jazz Therapy. Thank you for listening, reflecting, and being present with us today. Please leave us a review and comment, as we love feedback and aim to continuously improve and innovate, embodying the spirit of jazz itself. Jazz Therapy is edited and produced by Patricio Garcia. Sage Salmon is our social media coordinator. To connect with us, find us on Instagram and TikTok. Our email is info@jazztherapy.com. Check back next week for our next episode. May Jazz Therapy soothe your soul.